You are listening to CFRO Community Radio Station. The upcoming show, Conscious Living Radio, is a program that explores frontiers of consciousness, spirituality, personal growth, emerging paradigms in psychology, health, science, and innovative philosophies that reflect commitment to the advancement of individual, social, and global transformation.
We're moving stations, actually locations of the station. So Andrew's playing tech god at the same time trying to participate in the interview. But
here,
welcome, welcome to the show. There you are in stereo. You're listening to Conscious Living Radio 100.5. FM in Vancouver. Yeah, for a second. Well, I was looking at you and your gymnastics, and I had a mental skip. I'm Tasha Sims.
I'm Andrew Resmer.
And welcome. Tonight, we are focusing on success. We've got a couple of guests with valuable approaches and hopefully offering you all kinds of practical wisdom. They'll both be speaking at the upcoming event, The Power of Success, here in Vancouver, July 27th, with Tony Robbins, who, as you know, world authority on leadership and psychology. And at the event, you're going to get top strategies for success in 2017. It's a one-day mega event, and you'll get training in sales, marketing, negotiating, personal development, business, money, and the areas of your life that will be impacted are not just business, health and wellness as well, and leadership, personal life, your managing emotions, how you deal with obstacles. It really is a big terrain of topics that are going to be touched on. And bottom line, on a personal level, which I really love, there's an invitation to more laughter, passion, and vitality in your life, which, I mean, who doesn't want that?
I don't know anyone who doesn't.
July 27th, 8 to 6:30 at the Vancouver Convention Center. Various price points. Just go online, www.powerofsuccess.ca for tickets.
Actually, we will post tickets on our website, because if you use our link, there is 25% discount.
Oh, that's good. Okay, so you're going to go to www.consciouslivingradio.org. Yeah. So there'll be a number of speakers besides Tony, as I was saying, and one of our guests this evening, Cameron Schell, is going to be talking about entrepreneurship and overcoming adversity. He is a master business strategist. He's going to talk, too, about organizing principles for how to position your life, career, and business at the forefront of world emerging trends. His personal story is remarkable. He went from being super successful, having built several billion-dollar organizations, to losing everything, becoming homeless. And he's here to talk about how he regained his success and offer some, hopefully, practical wisdom of his experience. Welcome to the show, Cameron.
Hi. Thanks so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being here. So you overcame catastrophic loss, and I'm just wondering if we can start with that, sharing your personal story with our listeners.
Well, sure. Thanks for the opportunity to do that. Quite fortunately, relatively early on in my career, in my early 20s, I met with some success building some tech companies, and which one would think would just be the most incredible thing one would want to experience in the world. Certainly the world that I came from, anywhere where you really, you know, making money and success and driving and being the top dog and all the rest of it were the pinnacles of everything that we were trying to achieve. The Hollywood story of the loner who came from nothing, small town, and all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. And so by mid 20s, I built a couple of companies that were had market caps of over $1 billion. You know, were traded on U.S. markets, and of course, I thought I was the smartest person in the world, and I had done it all on my own. And then one of the greatest things that could have happened to me and it was an event that I had absolutely no control over, and there was no way that I in any fathom of even my complete and total egotistical mind at that time could I have conjured up a notion that I had any control over the event. And that event was, I was walking into the buildings on 9/11. I was walking into Tower 2 when the first plane hit. And my story is certainly not a tragic one compared to the most of the people that were there. However, you know, what I realized that day was that, you know, if I would have been standing 2 feet to the left or running, you know, half a meter a second faster or stopped at a certain point or whatever, you know, I wouldn't be here today, or somebody else would be, and it wasn't because, you know, if somebody, you know, lived or died, it wasn't because they were faster or smarter or had better intuition or any, it was completely a 100% out of their control, the circumstances of which they would find themselves in any given second. And that was really the first time that I really had no way to lie to myself and not be just absolutely super honest that I didn't create any of this. And that I had, and the fact that I lived or somebody else didn't had nothing to do with how good I was or anything. It was completely something out of my control, and that rocked my world. It completely shattered every image I had, you know, built up falsely of myself in the world that I was living. And so with that, you know, not to belabor the story, but that led to a life of I started using alcohol and then drugs, and my life spiraled completely out of control. And of course, at that time I had the means for it to spiral really out of control. And within a matter of a couple years, I was completely and financially broke. I was a hard addict, and in and out of rehabs, and completely absent from life. And the spiral continued. And so I ended up losing everything, becoming homeless, living in the East End of Vancouver, and again, it was one of those great, great lessons in life that I couldn't get clean. I absolutely could not get clean, and I was willing to go further and further down and just, you know, let life eliminate me. Mm-hmm. And it made me realize, like, it was just another one of those things that I couldn't do without the help of other people.
So I just ask you a question? Was it like that realization that you don't have control, just maybe map that over to this drive to kind of destroy yourself, really, because that's what you're doing when you're going down that road, down that spiral. Is there a correlation between the two?
Yeah, well, I think in specifically in those circumstances, you eliminate from your life. Certainly the psychology for me was I was eliminating from my life more and more things that I didn't have control over. And so while your life is completely out of control, you have this false sense that, look, the only thing I need to do is get the next hit. Mm-hmm. I just need to get through the, like, it's truly living in the moment. You don't care about anything else other than what is happening exactly at that moment. And that's either using or figuring out how you're going to use. Mm-hmm. And that was a psychology that it really it spiraled to. And so that became the context that, well, if that's what I can control, then, and so this, the notion of having to give up control and admit the life that we live in today, admit the circumstances that we're in, not be upset about the circumstances that we're in, not mm-hmm. try to lie to ourselves about what they are or what they aren't, but actually really, really be clear on what they are and deal with what you have. And of course, being grateful in it, whatever it is. You know, that became the process. That and the other big thing is learning that the only way to get out of any situation is to accept help, right? So once you realize you're you have no control, the only way to be a part of something that can gain some semblance of predictability in your life is to accept help.
And I mean, you were struggling for a while. So what was the turning point? What was it that finally opened you to be able to receive help and make a shift?
There was a specific moment. Now, I had been in and out of rehab multiple, almost countless times, probably half a dozen times, and some of those stays were a few days, and some of those were, you know, 3 and 4 months, and so I had a lot of background working knowledge in the brain before it stuck, but there was just a moment, and I'm going to tell you again, it was not a moment I controlled, and it was circumstantial, and it was very, very lucky. But I was in a situation where there was a particular group, we could even call it a gang, that consistently would seek me out and beat me up. I was just their you know, the post that they were going to beat on. And I had gotten out of the hospital and not remembered a few days previous because I had been beaten, and was obviously back down on the street and saw that group. And they saw me, and it was at that moment, and I knew that if I took another beating, I wouldn't survive. And I realized that I was still so hanging on to the notion that I could live this life and not die, that I could be the addict that I was, and it wasn't going to happen to me. I wasn't going to overdose. I wasn't going to seizure. I wasn't going, which I did consistently, but I wasn't going to die from it. And at that exact moment, I realized that next beating was going to kill me. You know, I was very foggy, I terrible concussion, could hardly walk, you know, motor skills were poor. And I just, at that moment, I decided, wow, that was like, I need help. I need to get help because I've hit my bottom. Mm-hmm. And at that moment, I decided that I was going to accept help and try to live and get cleaned up. Now, I didn't really realize it. And it took obviously a lot of work and a lot of help to get through. Yeah, it's been over, you know, close to 9 years, excuse me, now, but it was at that moment that was the bottom that it snapped, and I was like, okay, I admit that I can't do this on my own.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then what? How'd you turn it around? This is the part we want to hear.
Yeah. So the first step one was admitting that I absolutely was out of control and that was the circumstance of life. And the second part of that was accepting help. So I was very, very fortunate in the circumstance that I had a lot of people that were willing to help me, and they had reached out several times. And so within about, you know, an hour of the situation of realizing that I was about to get beat again, I had contacted a friend of mine who had only heard from me before when I was trying to con them for some money or to send me a wire or a Western Union or something like that. And I asked for help, and they responded. And I was able to leave Vancouver and get back to Calgary over the course of, it took me a week and a half and some fast talking to get rides back to Calgary and detox through that time. And when I got there, I started the process of accepting help and using the tools that I had learned in and out of rehab a number of times. So that kind of gave me the basis of it. Mm-hmm. Eventually I was able to, you know, I was working landscaping and bricklaying, and I was able to land a consulting job with some folks that knew some of the work I had done in the past. And they were happy with the work, and they actually kind of sponsored me and able, you know, help me get an apartment, and I worked with them for a number of years after that, but through that, I also had the opportunity to start thinking more clearly of a couple of ideas that we wanted to build, and one of those concepts was a company called Earthcast, and the idea with Earthcast was that we wanted to put cameras in space that were live video so that anybody on Earth could always see what was happening. Mm-hmm. So we ended up doing that. I was part of a team that started and financed a company to put cameras on the outside of the International Space Station. There was fantastic people involved in the project. We took the company public. Today it's a very successful company and one of several that we've built since then. And through that process, I took the lessons from my past business and the new lessons, the much more important lessons of how to have to be a part of a team and how to have to be a part of a family, and put a system together that allowed us to actually not have an egotistical-centered leadership principle organization, but have an organization that is actually led by a team. Mm-hmm. And so we built a system and a software and a process that does that. And so we built, you know, a dozen companies in the last 9 years now, and now we're making that system available to other entrepreneurs out there.
And I understand that during event on July 27th, in a couple of weeks, you're going to be sharing some of those skills and some of those tools that you have learned, and now you want to inspire others to change their values in their lives and also the way they run their businesses.
Yeah, it's really first of all, very honored to be able to speak at this mega event. And then invite people out for an opportunity to spend a weekend with us, actually, you know, building their company and their team around this this process that has proven itself out with so many others, and so on the 27th we'll be you know, talking probably a bit more detail about the story, but more importantly, talking through how it relates and some of the specific strategies around today's leadership. So the whole notion of you know, the lone wolf and the superstar CEO or the superstar entrepreneur that did it on their own and all of that type of stuff, we kind of go through and debunk how that's kind of like a Hollywood story, and that even the people that have that persona, when you really examine how they built their teams and what foundation their company is on, even if it's not from the same principled spot, there are certain characteristics of it that are actually 100% based on the fact that there were many things that they could not do on their own. So whether they autocratically dictated those things to be done, or they thought they did, or whether there was a team environment, which ultimately there always is, even if it's subconscious, that created a scenario for that person to be successful, it was never the individual that created mm-hmm. the success. They might have been a facilitator of it, they might have been some sort of a catalyst, but it was always somehow there's some technique within the rest of that team that has always catapulted that individual, or that, more importantly, if it's principled, the entire company to that level of success. And so we have actually extracted those specific things and put them into a system that, when consciously applied and principally applied, you know, just creates these incredible results. And you end up being a part of that team and that company that others look at and go, like, how do they always know the answer? How does that team always react and be able to be, you know, at the forefront of what's happening and make the right decisions? And so that's what's built into mm-hmm. this, and that's what we hope to share with people, because it's an incredible journey to be a part of that and to be a part of something that's unfolding in that way. And in fact, I really feel that's the gift that I get to be a part of mm-hmm. Creating with other people now. Because really, they're like, I really think there's only two things that people really, really strive for in life. And I think at the core of our humanism, you know, all we really want is we want love and we want to create. And this system is about doing that.
And how do you know who the right people are to surround yourself with in business? Or actually, I was thinking about it even beyond business, because I have a sense that the criteria is going to be similar, whether it's friendships, relationship, mm-hmm. or business.
Yeah, what happens in a business management team is so similar to actually what happens in a family dynamic mm-hmm. as well. And mm-hmm. so when you can capture those things and understand how to put them in the system, and the reason I say the system is so important is because these things are very emotional. So just like when you go into the army and you get basic training, you're trained to react in certain ways so you don't have to think in the middle of a battle. So when you're in the middle of an emotional trauma that's happening because of a business circumstance, you just want to be able to rely on what you know. So when you ask, how do you surround yourself with the right people, and how do you, the process that you go through to set what we call the RIPs, the responsibilities and perspective, which are kind of like KPIs, except that a responsibility and perspective isn't about a person's individual key performance indicators. It's about the responsibility that you have to accomplish in perspective of the rest of the team. And if you're not accomplishing them, there's ways to be called out on it or to call other people out on it. And And so if somebody, it doesn't mean that somebody's a bad person, it just means that they're not fitting with the core values and the execution principles of that team. They'll weed themselves out. And that's just such an important part, because it just makes it about who's right, what's right, and not who's right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So as soon as you have to start calling people out based on personality or character, your team dynamic starts to lose trust. But when people can clearly see that it's not based on the principles that were set as a team, right, and there's a consistent track record of it not being set, that person or those two or three individuals, they leave on their own, and it's the best thing for them. And they may excel in another situation, but in that particular team situation, they won't.
And I understand that obviously today we're just introducing this whole concept. You're going to expand it much more during your presentation on July 27th. And then after that, you're also going to invite some of those who are curious to work with you on much more deeper level to amazing workshop or experience. And some of this part of this experience is involving nature. We have a couple of minutes left. Could you tell our listeners a little bit more, because I know some details and I can't wait to experience that.
Sounds great. Well, I really hope to have you in, and look forward to having you in down in Malibu for that weekend. So I reside in Los Angeles now, so we run weekends in Malibu, taking people through this particular system. But the incredible part of this system, and we touched on it a little bit as it relates to family dynamic and the business management dynamic, is also, if we look in nature, the natural team dynamic that actually drives success, right? And it goes against so many of, again, the Hollywood stereotypes that we have built. Is when you look at tribes or when you look at packs. So what we actually do at this weekend is we spend time with a wolf pack, an actual wolf pack. So our participants spend time being imprinted in a wolf pack, and they understand how the pecking order works, and they understand where the alpha is and where the leader is, which is two different things in a pack. And the alpha leader actually leads from the back, not the front, because the alpha leader doesn't set what's going to happen. They just help hold people accountable, or hold their pack accountable to what's happening. And they have to be in the back to make sure, one, everybody's okay, and two, to be able to see the field and understand who's not doing their job and how to hold them accountable. So our participants actually imprint with the wolves, right? And we spend time doing that and understanding the pecking order and understanding the psychology of the whole thing and why it's important for certain roles to be filled and how to hold them accountable and such, and why candor, which wolves are very good at, is so incredibly important. And then for those who choose, we actually go out with the pack and we go on a hike. And so we are on a hike, a few mile hike with a pack, and we are treated as part of the pack because we've been imprinted. And so the alpha is actually working with you, stopping, understanding what role you're playing, calling other members of the pack back to make sure that you're not, you know, out of step or out of line, or if you're in hurt or danger, you know, they actually have members of the pack come back and check on you. And it's just an absolute incredible, incredible experience. And then we relate that directly to the experience that we put with the system, and we see how it all kind of ties together. So it gives you a hands-on experience of building your own company, it gives you hands-on experience of using the system, and it gives you an actual experience of working with a wolf pack to understand the psychology and the dynamic of how the system works.
So we only have 1 minute left, but have to ask, where are these are wild wolves?
These are wolves that are in a sanctuary. They've been rescue wolves.
Right.
Right. But they are wild, and they are a pack.
And you've done this before? You've
yes.
worked with them?
Yeah.
Wow, this sounds so phenomenal. Yeah. Tell our listeners where they can find out more, and also, you know, consciouslivingradio.org is going to have information to reach you too, but just one, with maybe even 20 seconds left.
Sure.
Anything that you want to say to our listeners?
If this is something that's of interest to you, and you really want to create an incredible organization that can make a difference in your life and the lives of the people around you, please feel free. First of all, please come to the Mega Conference. But check us out at buildimpossible.com. And in fact, if somebody wants to get a copy of my book, which is Sustainable Startup, which talks about the seven principles of how to build a sustainable startup. They can go to buildimpossible.com/freebook, and we'll get a copy out to you.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for your time.
Bless okay. You. You're Bye. Listening to Conscious Living Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver. We'll be back in just a moment to talk about battlefield strategies with Ryan Mitchell.
I'm lost in the light. I pray for the night to take me, to take you to. After so many words, still nothing's heard. Don't know what we should do. So if someone could see me now, let them see you. It was my greatest thrill when we just stood still. You let me hold your hand till I had my fill. Even counting sheep don't help me sleep. I just toss and turn right there beside you. So if someone could help me now, they'd help you too. They'd help you too. See you through all the hard things we've all gotta do. Cause this life is long, and so you wouldn't be wrong. Being free. Said some awful things and I take them back. If we would try again, and just remember when, before we were lovers, I swear we were friends. So if someone could see me now, let them see you. Let them see you. Life is long, so you wouldn't be wrong.